We'll now call on Brother Burton Brown.
Sister Nancy and I have been very pleased to be able to be here at convention with all of you and Vernon this year. Truly a privilege to be with those of like precious faith, those who have come to know the Lord and to serve Him with one consent. This evening we have this privilege of welcoming two of our brethren into the body of Christ, Brother Al and Sister Ann. We have this wonderful privilege knowing that the time is coming when there will be no more opportunity for this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But now the way is still open. And it's a wonderful way because we know that it's a narrow way. It's a way which only a few have entered. And it's a way which we are privileged to come to our Heavenly Father and call Him our Father, which art in heaven. And the only ones that can do that are those who have been called sons of God. And as sons of God, we've entered into a wonderful covenant of sacrifice with Him. This covenant of sacrifice is one which lasts throughout our entire Christian walk. From the time that we have heard the call and have come to appreciate the privilege of consecration, of laying down our lives in sacrifice, we've come into this relationship with God. And in this relationship with God, we have seen a wonderful plan opened up to us. This plan of being able to share in the operation of the plan of the ages. And part of this plan of the ages is an atonement work of laying down our lives, as has been mentioned before, as part of the sin offering for the world of mankind. Reading from the 40th Psalm, we hear the words of the prophet David. He acknowledges God's goodness to him, and we read also the prophetic words of the Lord's Prayer to God just prior to his baptism. Reading 40th chapter of Psalm. We're not going to read all. But I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my prayer. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and reverence, and shall trust in the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And then he goes on to say, Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ear thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. But then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. As followers of the Master, we also hear these words, these heart sentiments of all those who have come into this privilege of consecration and desirous of doing the will of our Heavenly Father. And knowing this horrible pit of despair, which the psalmist mentions, we know that the only solution for man's problems is the establishment of the kingdom. And this righteous rule that will ensue. Yes, when justice is laid to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail, these hard truths will sweep away the refuge of lies. Having the faith to believe in the promises of God, you, Brother Al, Sister Ann, have heard the words of the Master saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is a rest that comes from knowing and doing the will of God. Yes, it's even as the Lord said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. And as Jesus was willing to empty himself to the uttermost of the doing of the will of God, this brought a great peace and rest to his soul, even as it does to you and to each one of us who have heard his voice. And as Jesus was willing to empty himself to the uttermost, this brought a great peace to his mind. And it brings a great peace to our mind. Because we have heard his voice saying to us, Take my yoke upon me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Yes, we have heard him say, My sheep know my voice. Yes, we have heard the voice of our good shepherd. And this good shepherd is not only our Lord and Savior, but it's our Heavenly Father himself, the great shepherd of the sheep. Yes, we have heard his voice. And as we have heard also the voice of the Heavenly Father, we have heard him say, My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And as we have desired to observe his ways, we have heard him say, No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And it is the drawings of Jehovah, the drawings of God, that have brought us to this place, that have brought us to the point of consecration, to the doing of the will of God. And having a knowledge of the plan and believing in this redemptive work of our Lord and our Savior, we have heard him say that no man can come unto me except the Father has drawn him. Also, we know that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's only because of our Lord's sacrifice on our behalf that we may be found acceptable to Him. Beginning with a general understanding of the goodness of God and His wonderful plan, not only for us, but for all mankind, because we know that the kingdom is for all mankind. They were all going to hear His voice, and eventually they will have their stony hearts taken away and have been given hearts of flesh. This has had a great effect on those of us here today, drawing us to Him, He who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And what a drawing influence this has had on the influence of those who are seeking to do the Father's will, seeking to know truth and righteousness in God's appointed way. When we see the privilege of serving Him, we ask the question, even as remember the Apostle Paul, who was Saul then, on the way to Damascus when he saw this great light and he fell down blinded. And Saul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And we say the same thing, don't we? What will thou have me to do? How can I prepare myself for a future work in the kingdom? What can I do to prepare myself so that I may be able to, if I have been found faithful, to live and reign with Him 1,000 years? Just what can we do? When our Lord walked with the disciples at His first advent, there were those who desired the privilege of sharing in the kingdom glory. And we've heard this text before. They said, "Lord, we would like to sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand in the kingdom." And remember what He said, "Are you able? Are you able to drink of that cup that I am going to drink?" What was this cup? It was a cup of suffering. It was a cup of joy. And so often when we think of a cup of suffering, we think that we're going to have to be hung on a cross. We're going to have to suffer many things physically. The word suffer really means to endure. We're going to have to endure all the experiences that the Lord will permit us to have. And remember what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter. Remember that text? "We know that all things will work together for good." What's the rest of it? "To those who love the Lord." And then the rest? "To those who are the called according to His purpose." So often we quote that text of Scripture and we forget that you are one of the called. Are you one of the called? It's those to whom the promise is given. All things work together for good to those who are the called. And you have been called. And so all these things that you will experience will be pictured by the drinking of the cup. Yes. In these words, you know, there's no mention made of water. Why? John the Baptist was preaching baptism for the remission of sins. Was it remission? Yes. remission and repentance. It was, repent ye therefore and be converted. He was speaking to those Jews back there who had just crucified the Lord of glory. Yes, he was speaking to those in Acts, remember the third chapter. Repent you therefore so that you may be converted and enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. The blessings of repentance. Repent and be converted so that you will receive these blessings that the Lord has in store for those who have come into this relationship as sons of God. Yes, remission of sins, however, did not begin until the time of Jerusalem. And what happened at Jerusalem? Where was the remission of sins? John was preaching repentance. Remission of sins came when our Lord was hung on the cross. Remember that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right? Huh? No remission. That's the text. Oh, we have the word sins, and it's proper. But the scripture is, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Remember that, if you're quoting a scripture. And so it is that our Lord came to John at Jordan, and when John saw him coming, remember he said, behold the Lamb of God that did what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Well, if we use the word sins, it's not proper. The scripture is, he took away the sin of the world. And what was that sin of the world that our Lord, as the Lamb of God, took away? It was the sin of Father Adam's disobedience. Yes, he was there a corresponding price for Father Adam. And as the corresponding price, the balances came up proper. Yes, Father Adam had disobeyed, he sinned, and now we have a perfect man who offset that sin of Adam. Of course, we're all sinners. We all sin because of Adam's transgression. As by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all have passed under condemnation. Because why? We all sin. And so therefore it was that our Lord at Jordan laid down his life as a corresponding price for Father Adam. And there he began to walk in newness of life. And it was as the Apostle Paul tells us in the sixth chapter of Romans. Perhaps we should go to the sixth chapter of Romans first. And here again, we've had this scripture referred to, sixth chapter and the third verse. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Well, and then, that doesn't only refer to you too. The text says what? So many of us, we've all been baptized into Christ. And as so many of us have been baptized into Christ, we have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. What is baptism a picture of? You go down into the water, you die. If you never come up out of the water, what would happen? You would expire. Our Lord died from God's standpoint at Jordan, didn't he? He died as a man. But what happened? From God's standpoint, he was raised to walk in newness of life. And how long did he walk in newness of life? For 3.5 years. He was there. He was raised as a new creature, a new creation. And as a new creation, he walked for 3.5 years, laying down that humanity. What was that for? He was our sin offering. And remember in our tabernacle studies that in the tabernacle arrangement there was a bullock that was offered. And that bullock was offered for who? For Aaron and his house. Was that bullock a picture of the ransom? No. If it was the ransom, why wasn't it offered for the people? But it was for us. And when the blood of that bullock was taken in and sprinkled on the mercy seat, remember the mercy seat was a picture of divine justice? It gives you and each one of us who have come into this relationship justification. You have been made right with God. And being made right with God, the Apostle Paul goes on to say to the brethren in the 12th chapter of Romans. Now this is a text that we often hear in so far as baptism goes. This is not a call to consecration. It's a call to the brethren who have already consecrated. Remember in the very first chapter of Romans, he's speaking to the saints, to the brethren. And what is he saying to the brethren? I beseech you, beseech is a poor word. He's not pleading with us to do anything of the sort. That word beseech, you look down in the 8th verse of the same chapter, and the word is exhort. I exhort you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you yield your bodies a living sacrifice. Yes, King James, of course, gives us a thought that you present your bodies. You've already presented your bodies a living sacrifice at consecration. This word present also in the 6th chapter of Romans, remember, is the same word as yield. So getting the proper thought of this 12th chapter and the first few verses, I exhort you, Ann, by the mercies of God, that you continue to yield, lay down your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Yes? And so as we continue to lay down our lives a living sacrifice, it's this one sacrifice composed of 144,000. It's the Lord's goat. We are all part of that Lord's goat class. And what are you sacrificing for? What was the Lord's goat offered for? Remember? The Lord's goat was taken in and it was sprinkled on behalf of the people. The Lord's goat was a sin offering. And so you, Al and Ann, and each one of us are part of a sacrifice. We're part of the sin offering work, the atonement work. It's a wonderful work. We don't have any share in the ransom, but we do share in this atonement work. You are now ministers of reconciliation. Ministers to reconcile the world to God in due time. And so as we do this, we participate. We are participating members in this body of Christ. Some say that we're a body. We heard that. We're not part of the body, we're a body. We are members of the body of Christ. We're participating members. And remember what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, so also is Christ. And who is Christ? Know what the word Christ means? It's the anointed. We are members of the anointed. And as members of the body, I like Brother Jonathan's lesson, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that has enlightened our minds to see these deep things of God. And when we talk about deep things, they're really the simple things of God. Fall, ransom, restitution. We know those things, and they seem so simple to us. But they're the deep things of God. How many out in the world know anything about restitution? They say, rest of what? Restitution? That time when all shall come to know the Lord. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. Yes, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For there have been many good and righteous men that desire to see those things that you see, and they haven't seen them. Yes, but we have seen them because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that is shed abroad in our hearts. And so now we are members of the body of Christ. And then Paul goes on to say in this Corinthians text, now ye are the body of the anointed and members in particular. I like Farrar Fenton and several of the other translations. Now ye are participating members. We work together. Working together for the glory of the gospel. And so it is that we desire to follow in the footsteps of the Master. And we could do no better than to accept the Apostle's complete explanation as he addressed the brethren in Rome. When we see that we are baptized into his death, we realize that this is only a symbol. It's a symbol that has taken place in your life before this. Yes, it is now that you have said, I delight to do thy will. And what was that will? Remember, it was the same as our Lord. He delighted to do that which was pleasing to the Father. The scripture says, that he delighted to do that so that even Israel would know that he was the one that was sent from God. And so, henceforth, we are not to count ourselves as human beings on earthly plane, but we're walking now after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Remember what Paul tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter, and in the 8th chapter? Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if you walk after the Spirit, you're going to live. And if you walk after the flesh, you're going to die. Yes, we have crucified the flesh, supposed to be. But you know, we still sin. And I like what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans, the 7th chapter. Oh, he said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. O wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me from this body of death? He says, God will.
Yeah, but he got started.
Well, we have a wonderful opportunity here. And so we walk after the Spirit. And walking after the Spirit, we have taken up the cross. If any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. And following in the footsteps of the fat master is following into death. Yes, whatever experiences that occur to us, we realize that these are permitted of the Heavenly Father to develop us and prepare us for a place in the kingdom. Take up our cross. Yes, it's more than just crucifixion. Remember, Paul says, I'm ready not only to be bound only, but also to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Cross-bearing. We use that phrase. Some may even sever some of our family ties. Yes. Our Lord says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Can be. Could be. But, brethren, we have separated ourselves from the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be a part of it. And so the tests and the trials that will come on us will come to those who have taken up this cross of Christ. And this is to be expected as we are prepared for the heavenly kingdom. We have many enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes I think it's the flesh more than anything else. But these are our enemies. And the Lord said, greater is he that is for us than all they that be against us. And Paul said, since God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. Remember, the apostle also says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so we come at this time in consecration. We've already consecrated, but it's a time to express our consecration by water immersion, even as it was with our Lord. He didn't have to be. He was always consecrated to God. But he desired, as he told John, suffer it to be so. And so we have several things, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, and lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. When we read our scriptures, think on these things. It's so easy to pass over all these little phrases. Think. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I think that we might have a hymn. If there's any others that have desired, why don't we have one hymn, one verse of a hymn, and if there are, they might come up and join the hymn. And we can all... sins, and are you trusting in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins as the basis of your justification? Have you made a full consecration of yourself with all the powers that you possess, your talent, time, influence, all to the Lord, to be used faithfully in His service, even unto death?
I'd like to extend the right hand of fellowship, Brother Al. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may make it good work.
We'll call on Brother Burton Brown now in a closing prayer.
Our eternal, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne of grace, so thankful for the privilege that we have of these dear ones that desire to lay down their lives in consecration to Thee and come into this household of God. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Holy Spirit that has enlightened our hearts and minds, that we may know something concerning Thee and Thy wonderful plans and purposes, and the share that we may have in the operation of Thy kingdom. We do pray that we may be found faithful to our calling, May we hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. And as we depart from this place, we do ask that thou continue with us. Be with not only us here, but with our brethren the world over, all who are endeavoring to serve thee in spirit and in truth everywhere. And may we and they all be found faithful, even unto death. These favors and these blessings we ask now, leaving ourselves to thy tender care and keeping, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.